Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. The Lord is in control, and He is raising up a people. He's positioning people. We have some great, exciting things we're going to be sharing with you in the near future about what the Lord is doing, what we're seeing Him do. And yes, there is a storm on the horizon. Yes, we are in the midst of a storm, weather patterns that even the most educated meteorologists can't even explain. Even the global warmers are going, I don't know what's going on. I know it's snowing and it's spring, but it's been crazy. Everything's just, it's just out of place. But, you know, if you can go to VFN Torch right now, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch, you'll see firsthand that John Paul Jackson spoke prophetically about this, which means God said this was going to happen, and he shared the headlines, not a lot of details, but the headlines about what's going on. We've been seeing this as well, and you really don't want it to be a reality, but it's a reality. And understand this, that, you know, if you love God, you've been talking to people about the Lord, and they've been unresponsive, guess what? They're going to be more responsive.
They sure will.
There's nothing like having, you know, being thirsty and somebody showing up with a glass of water. You know, when you're desperately, you know, needing a word and needing to hear from the Lord, that's what happens. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Begin to abide with the Lord. Prepare yourself for what's about to take place. It's only going to increase, but understand that the kingdom is going to explode in growth. You know, it's going to, people are going to cry out to God, and God's going to answer, and He's going to save. And people that have been stuck and held captive, as Rick Joyner saw in a vision when he wrote about in the book called The Call, he said there's a lot of people held prisoner. They're held prisoner in a religious prison. And as long as they stay in the prison, then everything's, you know, the those that are being held captive to hold them captive are just happy as can be. But the second they start to climb over those walls, we're talking spiritual things, they begin to just attack and begin to just do everything they can. Because what happens is when you start coming out of the spiritual religious prisons, that and if you're upset right now because I'm saying that, you must be in a, you know, head of a prison or something.
You're
if you're not, you're not. It doesn't matter what you're meeting in. But if all of a sudden somebody begins to get vision and they can see outside those walls, then there's these folks that are standing around the walls. This is his vision. This is Rick Joyner's vision. Mm-hmm. He's wrote about it in the book, The Call. That all of a sudden they begin to attack that one. They begin to attack them and do everything they can to keep them from going over the wall. And going over the wall, the individual has to deal with all their fears and all the lies the enemy has told them how it's going to be. And they find out, though, once they make it through that barrier, that it was all a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing. It's all Satan is. He's a liar, you know, and he's the father of lies. And you find out there's a whole new world out there that God is God, and everything that He says He is and says He can do, He does.
Mm-hmm.
And but the dangers are, once you got free, that there's all kinds of prisons like that all over the place, that just some people just end up back in a prison again.
Right.
And if you haven't read the book, The Call, I encourage you to get it. Hopefully you'll be able to find it on the Torch today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. It was penned in 1998. November 1998 is when I think he signed it. He published it in 99, I think. And understand, it's prophecy. But people say, well, that's an older book. Looks the Bible. Come on. I mean, prophecy speaking about the future in advance. I mean, Joseph had a long ways to go once he first heard the word that his brothers were going to bow down to him. I'm in prison, you know, false accusation, slavery, a few little things had to happen first before that happened. But it came to pass. You know, we're in this instant generation where all of a sudden we go like, well, God gave me a word and it hasn't happened yet. And it's like, that was last month, dude. I mean, you still have to die still, you know?
Oh, I know.
There's a lot of things. You don't want it to show up too soon. It'll run over you. Your destiny will flatten you out. And I remember that you know, Joyce Meyer, she's a minister, you know, powerful. God's using her powerfully in the kingdom. And she just says all these things. It's amazing what she gets away with.
Mm-hmm.
And but she was ready. She was so ready. And maybe that's you today. You feel like you're so ready. But this is what the Lord told her. But they're not ready for you yet.
Mm.
And understand, this is not your plan. This is God's plan. And Jesus's plan, think about Jesus, God's plan for Jesus was 3 effective years. 3 years.
That's it.
That was it. 3 years. You know, he was going to just be faithful to his father, his earthly father, Joseph. He's going to be faithful to his father in heaven and faithful to his mother, and to live amongst, to live out the humanness of him becoming a man, and but do it sinlessly. And with that, all of a sudden, when it became his time, when everybody was right for him and God had prepared the way, and we prepared the way for Jesus, that was his cousin, John the Baptist, who was born real close at the same time. They're about the same age, a few months apart. That, matter of fact, they both were pregnant at the same time. Their mothers were. And John was out baptizing. God just put this fire in John's bosom to be separate. And this is, listen, you got to be willing to separate yourself from what is happening so God can bring to pass what will be happening. So many people want to hang on to what is, and they're not willing to just trust God and allow God. Because what happens when you step away from everything, you begin to get a new paradigm. You start thinking, what was I thinking? What were we doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? You start asking these questions. So then you go into God's word, you start finding things out like, that's not even in God's word. Where did that come from?
Right.
You know, and so in that, you have to be willing to separate yourself. And what God does, and it's important to understand that what was happening was God, and what will be happening is God. And so you have to honor both. You know, one example is that we're told very specifically in the Word of God that you cannot put new wine into old wineskins because it will destroy them. It doesn't mean that the old wineskin wasn't a wineskin, and it doesn't mean that the new wine's not wine. It just means you can't put the old with the new. Mm-hmm. But don't snuff out the new because you keep on wanting to connect to the old. Honor the old and move on to the new. Understand that the old primarily rejects the new. But that's, I really believe that's a God thing, so that you will not connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just pushes you away, and you're tempted to respond, but you don't. Because that would be wrongfully discerning the body of Christ. It would be saying something against the body of Christ. It rejoice in the fact that they don't want that to connect. Because he says if the two come together, they'll destroy both.
Mm-hmm.
The old move of God and the new move of God. You know, sometimes you just got to say, I'll see you in heaven.
That's right.
You know, I'll see you in heaven. One good example of that also, I'll be talking about this hopefully this week, is that how the old move rejects the new move is, there's a million of them. If I think about Azusa Street with Charles Seymour, on Azusa Street, one man cried out for God just to move. And God moved so powerfully, began to fill people with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was new for the church at that day. And it wasn't new for the church, but the church had gone so long without the revelation and the filling of the baptism, the power. And there people were getting filled, and whatever language it sounded like, if that sounded like Mandarin, they go, you're going to China.
Right.
If that sounded Spanish, you know, you're going to Mexico, or whatever. They would just send you places. And it's just a power. We talk about it today. As a matter of fact, a lot of the biggest movement happening on the face of the earth right now is the charismatic movement. You can see that birth really out of the Azusa Street. But his spiritual father, the one who trained him up, who was involved in the old move, and they've rejected Charles Seymour his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
He's an African-American. And they actually made him go to school while he was sitting outside the building looking in the window. So he was used to being separate.
Mm-hmm.
He was used to being separate. And thank God he was, because look at the charismatic movement today, because he was willing to go after God and not let that define him.
Mm-hmm.
But here he was. Now, the one that actually made him get educated outside the window,
right,
didn't let him come in the classroom. Now God begins to use him in Azusa Street in California. And all of a sudden, you know, God's moving. It's happening. It's powerful, undeniable. But all of a sudden, the old move, you know, Charles Parham, I believe, is a spiritual father, opens up a church, starts a church right across the street. And his sole purpose was, it appeared, he was holding deliverances for people that came out of Charles Seymour's Azusa Street move of God.
Right.
It's like, really? You know, you could really get offended about that. You know, I had to get educated standing in the heat, outside, looking in a window.
Yeah.
You know, I went through all of that. I cried out to God when nobody else is crying out to God. God begins to move. Look at the power, what God's doing. And now you're going to open up. And it's like, you know what? You got to let that go. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? Does it mean because at one time they were rightly related that all of a sudden now that Charles, you know, Parnum is going to think, you know, that's not God? It's like, no, sometimes you got to say, hey, you know, Moses is dead. Joshua's going in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is it. And you cannot, and I'll just go, this is what I was going to talk about, is, you know, A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen was an evangelist used by God powerfully. He used to have tent revivals and healings, and R.W. Shambaugh was his younger spiritual son, I guess you could call that, that walked around with him, and he would say, you know, you have no problem. All you need is faith in God.
Right.
That's what he was known for, you know, healings and salvations and the tents. To Americans today, couldn't even probably imagine a tent yet. Yet. But we've seen God move in tents, haven't we?
We sure have.
8,000 square foot tents.
Yep.
We haven't held revival like that in the tents, but mm-hmm. we did some powerful things in the tent. Anyway, so, oh dear Lord, let it be air conditioned building. Anyway, and so the Lord spoke to, A.A. Allen reports this, you can read about this in God's Generals, written by Robert Lyrdon, that he, God said, I want you to start a radio station. And yeah, he really didn't want to do it. And so he took it to the church board, and he pretty much knew they would turn it down.
Right.
You know? And so he goes and takes it to them, and they go, ah, you don't know. They just shot it down, shot the whole idea down. Then he's thinking, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden God speaks to him and said, what are you doing taking what I told you to do to a man to see if it's all right?
All right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That's like, and he's needless to say, he got in the radio program. And God used him powerfully. That's when R.W. Shambaugh was beginning to grow up under A.A. Allen, which would carry on the next generation. R.W. Shambaugh, you don't have no problems. All you need is faith in God. Tyler, Texas, 75711. That was what everybody would just listen to that. Mm-hmm. But that was actually because A.A. Allen obeyed. Oral Roberts, when Oral Roberts saw what A.A. Allen did in tents, Oral Roberts had faith to be able to have tents and to these tent meetings. And today we have ORU. When you think about all these different men who were able to ride on the coattails of somebody who just didn't, who was willing to obey God, to follow God, today we're benefiting from them. Think, what if Charles Parnum just said, oh, I guess the baptism in the Holy Spirit, even, you know, it's not, it's all of a sudden they just say no to God. Mm-hmm. And then all this charismatic movement could be affected. How many people would be burning in hell today because mm-hmm. maybe, you know, Charles would have said, you know, but he was used to rejection his whole life. Listen, you got to get used to rejection. Rejection is a blessing. When an evil person rejects you, when a jealous person rejects you, that's a gift. That's a gift, because why would you want that person to be that connected to you?
Right.
You know, they're going to just bring you harm and trouble. You know, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly.
Right? Exactly.
That's key words. And so you have to be willing to follow God, to follow him. And when he speaks to you, and the thing about it is, that today God is releasing a whole deeper level of mountaintop experiences to a wide variety. And hopefully, you know, he says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and they'll prophesy, which means they hear from God. So there'll be many people hearing from God, which means you won't be like those days where a few people heard from God and a lot of people followed a few people. Everybody will be hearing from God and will still follow God's authority. But it'll be just amen. Yeah, I heard that last night too, is what God showed me last week. This is what we've been praying about that already. And we just kind of, and amen means when we get together, we're saying amen because we heard it too. It's the same God, same Spirit, same Lord. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to begin to just hear that. And we're going to begin to hear the Lord. And even 8-year-olds will be able to confirm. And we're seeing this. We've been to the mountaintop, is what talking about. We've heard the voice of the Lord. And you can too. And God's calling you there. But understand, right now, there is something happening in the face of the earth. It's happening in the American church, at least, that there's people that God is calling out to be separate. Not because of what presently you're around is not of God. That's not it. But he's doing a new thing. Mm-hmm. These are people that are dissatisfied with knowing that there's more in God. These are people that read the word of God and they look at where they're at and they think, this is a contradiction to everything I read. These are people that said, the longer I stay here, the darker I get.
Mm.
Isn't there a place that I can stay holy before God? This is the people God is calling out. And says, you know what? There is a cause. This is like the heart of David. There's a cause. He knew he was willing to die for the cause. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against the armies of God? Listen, look at the church today. Look what's happening to the church. God loves the church, but the church is held captive. Who's going to be a David? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be a Gideon? Who's going to be a Joshua? Who's going to stand up and say, our God is greater than any of this. But see, you got to step out from what is to be able to become what God is going to do in the earth. And if think about this, the first great awakening was done on horseback, and that's what shifted America majorly. The second great awakening, what came after it, was the freedom of the African Americans from slavery. That was a byproduct of a great awakening, a second great awakening in our nation. What do you think is going to happen if we wake up? That's what a great awakening is mm-hmm. when the church wakes up.
Right.
And they did this on horseback, Pat. They did it on horseback.
Amazing.
Can you imagine riding that long on a horse? You know?
I can't even do it in a car.
I know. He's like, I can see you riding a horse now. Wait, Jesus, help me, Lord. I'm going to go sleep. And look at the technology we have today. Look at how quickly the word can get out. I mean, Azusa Street stopped because the secretary got jealous because Charles Seymour, married somebody and she thought she should have married him. And so she took off with the mailing list because that's how you communicated back then.
Right.
And she went to Oregon and it just stopped. The whole thing stopped. But you can't stop today. Today, bad, good, everything just keeps going and going. And everybody's trying to stop things, but you can't stop them. And think about this first and the second great awakening. What's going to happen if we begin to believe God for a third great awakening? What's going to break loose in the world? What's going to break loose in America? Listen, our God is able, but we have to leave our life of sin. We have to know God is holy. Without holiness, no man would see God. But we have to believe that with him, it's a greater thing. That his plans for us are good. Plans to bless us and prosper us. Listen, what people call freedom is truly slavery. And what people call slavery is truly freedom. Because whatever you obey, that's what you're a slave to.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're following sin, then we're a slave to sin. But if we're following Jesus Christ, then we are bondservants. We are sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen, there is hope in Jesus right. Christ. There is so much hope in him. Listen, all we have to do is humble ourselves, pray, turn from our wicked ways, seek God's face, begin to abide with him and obey him, and watch this thing turn around on a dime. And we're just speaking about, you know, cheering up and understanding if you're going to be a part of what God is doing, sometimes you got to let go of what God has done. You know, the songs about give me that old time religion. We need to remember the wonders of the Lord. We need to remember what God has done, but understand, let's don't define what God's going to do by what he's done. Understand he's going to do a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
The old thing ain't going to work. But the new thing, God's going to do a new thing. We're going to find this generation is going to be hungry for what God's going to do as he reaches them. We need to honor what God has done while refusing to say no to following God. Say, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow Jesus, even if it means that every Pharisee and Sadducee tries to make you sad, you see,
mm-hmm.
and understand that, you know, I'm just going to follow Jesus because this thing, at the end of this thing called my life, I'm going to be accountable to God by myself alone, no witnesses and no suspects. Guess what? You too. And if you keep considering other men's opinion of your eternal judgment and that moment before the throne of God, listen, they're not going to do you right. They're not going to be able to say, God, I'd like to call witness number 32 to be able to come in and testify why I procrastinated on the call of God all my life.
Right.
I'd like to call witness number 33 who testifies that I was making such good money, I thought I couldn't give that job at a time like that. It's not going to happen.
Right.
I'd like to call suspect three. Suspect three, this is the one who actually did this. It wasn't me. It was in the blame game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And blame stands for what? But look at my excuse.
Right.
Man, there's so many excuses. It's amazing. I wonder if God's going to let you just stand before his throne and say, you know, look, you got a minute? He's like, I live outside of a minute. go ahead. Well, you see, it all started when it was my mama's fault. And then it progressed to my father's fault. And then it was my brother's fault. And then it was my sister's fault. And then it was my teacher's fault. And then it was my boss's fault. Then it was my warden's fault. Then it was the judge's fault. Mm-hmm. And then it was my neighbor's fault. And I think about it. It's like, that's what a therapy session is like in some secular situation.
Right.
You know, you pay somebody all this money to find somebody to blame for something that you refuse to take responsibility for, which has to happen at the cross. So I want to encourage you that maybe God's calling you to be one. It just takes one. I mean, it just took David. That's all it took was David to stand up, a man after God's own heart, and say, listen, I believe. Could it have cost him his life? Yeah. In the natural sense, he was facing a giant, an army, and he had nobody backing him up. He had a slingshot and five rocks. That's it. A slingshot and five rocks. I mean, mm-hmm. Come on. I mean, we have like all kinds of, there's more guns in America. We don't talk about guns, but there's just all kinds of spiritual weapons, that type of thing, that we can actually do spiritual battle, not physical battle, to be able to win the war. We can stand up and come against, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not, we're not battling against people. It's spiritual wickedness and evil spirits and dark things that are, you can't see with your natural eye. And they manifest through people, but understand, if you deal with the spiritual thing, then the physical thing will just line up. I mean, you think about it with Pharaoh and Moses and God's people. They have recently had the Bible on History Channel, mm-hmm. and you have Charlton Heston doing his Ten Commandments. But understand this, that God was orchestrating all of that. And at the moment he wanted Pharaoh to come and push harder against his people, he would touch Pharaoh's heart and he would push harder.
Right.
And the moment he wanted Pharaoh to back off, he would touch Pharaoh to back off. And the moment he wanted Pharaoh to chase him on into the Red Sea, they chased him on into the Red Sea. And the moment that he wanted the water to come down top of their head and drown them and kill them, he let the water fall down and drown them. He brought them to bitter waters, but he made the bitter water sweet.
Right.
It's like, what point are we going to realize it's just between us and God?
Mm-hmm.
It's not these people. It's not definitely not a political party. It's not even a form of government. There's so many Christians today that are worshiping capitalism, you know, and some of them, others are worshiping socialism. And it's like, let's just worship Jesus-ism. You know what I'm saying? Let's go mm-hmm. to the kingdom of God and let's quit, you know, trying to change the kingdoms of this world. And realize we need to be the kingdom of God. And then in that, we can change the world by changing the heart of men. It's an exciting thing. That's how we change things from the inside out. The devil and the world's way is changing things from the outside in. Sometimes it never works its way in, but it is definitely from the outside in. If you just act right, you don't have to be right. Just do what I want you to do. With God, is you can look really whack, but you can be really good on the inside and it's working its way out.
That's
right.
Exactly right.
Right. Whackisms 101. So I just want to encourage you, you know, maybe that's you. Maybe I'm speaking to you right now. And if that's you, listen, get a hold of us. You know, go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, vinefellowshipnetwork.org. We're looking for a few good men and women who say, the only good in me is God, and I'm ready. I'm ready to stand up for God in this generation and be heard, even if it costs me my life. I want it to be written of me in history that I was on the right side. I was on God's side. And listen, when you're on God's side, even if you don't make it in this life, you're going to be present with the Lord forever, and it's going to be good for you. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.